This is Sam Darmacena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM here in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.
And having honestly worked for restaurants and bars and breweries that consider that people, that diners and consumers, customers consider the best in the city, these places are held to no, like there's no standard, no employment standards, and they aren't. What I'm trying to say is that being a restaurant owner in this city isn't synonymous with being an employer.
That's Ariane Prasad, co-founder of the Toronto Restaurant Workers Relief Fund, a nonprofit organization that was created in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. As someone with asthma, Ariane hasn't gone back to work in hospitality since March, and instead is directing their energy towards the Relief Fund and their work as a documentary filmmaker. In their latest documentary, Behind, Ariane follows the lives of food service workers navigating the pandemic.
And behind is a word that you probably know that we use in the restaurant industry to just like indicate when we're behind someone so you don't get splashed with boiling hot deadly liquid or a knife. Just like incredibly important as a word, as one word. But for me, it represented what our industry is in terms of employment standards, which is fine.
I spoke with Ariane to learn about the conversations they've had through all these projects and hear about their own experiences in the industry. Ultimately, I wanted more insight on the realities of indoor dining during a pandemic, since it's become such a hot topic lately. Toronto's Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Davila, called for immediate action on October 2nd to stop the spread of COVID-19. One of her recommendations to the provincial government was prohibiting indoor dining. In the City of Toronto news release, she mentions that 44% of the active community outbreaks between September 20th and 26th were in restaurants, bars, and entertainment venues. So with this in mind, she requested Dr. Williams to use his legislative powers as Ontario's medical officer to make these changes. Section 22 of the Health Protection and Promotion Act limits Dr. Davila's authority to act alone on this type of public health recommendation, which is why she's been calling on the provincial government for support. Speaking to reporters at Queen's Park on October 5th, Premier Doug Ford mentioned that indoor dining will continue. And later that day, Dr. Williams elaborated on this decision. He told reporters that those outbreaks are among staff during their pre- and post-work time and in the back rooms. And he mentioned that the Premier is looking for data that patrons are being impacted. Before asking Ariane where they stood on the issue of indoor dining, I asked them to give me some insight on how illnesses were handled in the hospitality industry prior to the pandemic. They explained that there's a lot of guilt-tripping and consequently a lot of fear around discussions of time off as they relate to health concerns.
Oh, it's so eerie. But yeah, what used to happen before is this. Our server would be sick. So February, everybody gets sick. And my partner and I were talking about how like January and February, you usually like you hear a sneeze in the restaurant and it's like, okay, so for the next 2 weeks, all of us are sick because nobody's not working and all of this. So what would happen though, in my experience, and again, this is reflective, you know, of a lot of people's experience, is a server calls in sick because they have a cough. And even if it's not something that is, you know, that bad, for optics, it's not that great to have people coughing when they're serving food or sneezing when they're serving food. So, you know, say I'm the restaurant manager in this scenario and I want to be able to give that person the day off. Like I have no power to control the pay that they get for that day, so they won't get pay, but they'll get the day off. Let's say that. What happens now is I have to bill it for the person who isn't going to work. And that's the thing. That's so like pre-COVID, the guilt that restaurant workers have to take on when they ask for when they advocate for themselves, when they ask for a sick day, is overwhelming.
Ariane tells me a common response from a manager to a server would be something along the lines of, okay, but it's too bad you're letting the team down. And they tell me that the sense of belonging to a team or a family comes up in these scenarios, but doesn't extend into other areas. Sort of like a restaurant will create their work environment by picking certain elements of freelance contract style work and then other elements of full-time salaried work. Ariane thought this disconnect in the hospitality industry would be confronted within the context of a global pandemic, but they're actually seeing these dynamics still play out in restaurants right now.
We're interconnected, but we're not supported, right? So like there is this feeling that if you, and it's one of the ways that we are taken advantage of by employers is the idea that you're a part of a family. And you're part of a family separate from your employer. So you're responsible for each other, but they're not responsible for you.
We start talking about life in the restaurant industry right now, and Ariane shares some common themes they see in conversations with colleagues and the results from a series of Instagram polls, which ultimately led to more conversation. Most people say that their restaurants are following guidelines for masks, but it's those conflicting pre-pandemic habits that just keep resurfacing.
Restaurants get busy. So this is the thing, is like a lot of stuff works when it's not busy, but the moment it's busy and there is a demand for services and there isn't a laborer force that's eager to work, the people who are working suffer. So these folks are like, you know, in the transitional season of fall, coughing, sneezing, maybe it's not COVID, but they want to be safe and get tested. I am telling you, this is like 20 people to have the exact almost scenario in which they had the sniffles or had the cough, maybe even had a temperature, and were like, hey, I need to get a test. Can I get my shift covered, or I can't come into work or whatever?
And Ariane says that's when the iconic, well, okay, but that's too bad you're letting the team down kind of messaging comes into play. Or there's this pandemic-specific response.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, I guess you won't be able to come back until you test negative. We might have to get someone to replace you.
So in this scenario, Ariane says that the restaurant worker would lose their job. These stories paint a better picture at the 44% of outbreaks coming from restaurants, bars, and entertainment venues in Toronto. Ariane adds that restaurants don't necessarily have to wait on the government to take extra measures, but when it comes to government bodies, they want to see decision makers protecting everyone, not just patrons.
The reality is that like folks that I'm chatting with are like, well, like at this point, I'm gonna get it. Like everybody's getting it, you know? And how terrifying is it to just have to throw your hands up and assume that your life is worth so little that you, that you're just like gonna get sick.
Ariane says this fear is something they're tackling at the Toronto Restaurant Workers Relief Fund. They've been providing grocery gift cards since the fund's inception, but along the way they've added the Mental Health Care Access Program. Through this, they distribute gift cards redeemable at the Center for Anti-Oppressive Communication. The program makes individual therapy available to current and former restaurant workers who identify as Black, Indigenous, people of color, women, queer, non-binary, and trans. It's an opportunity to work through some of those feelings or anything else they're experiencing right now. Visit the CGRU website to learn more about Ariane and the municipal and provincial responses to indoor dining. This is Sam Dharmasena, and you've been listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.